You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning, 11 a.m. service. Today is a special Sunday. So if you happen to join us for the first time, we do this every single year. Today is what we call our Missions Sunday. Matthew chapter 28, it says here, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations.'" Let me just share a couple of things about this for a while. This talks about the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he ascended to heaven, his call for us is to go into the nations. So when we say go and make disciples here, this is equivalent to us going and telling. Generally speaking, the problem with the church right now is what we want to happen is come and see. This is the attractional aspect of ministry, or the attractional form of ministry. Meaning to say, we want to bring people to church. That's totally fine. We want people to experience worship services. That's totally fine. But I want us to understand that this model of ministry to invite people to come and see is not effective all over the world. God's call for us is not to ask people to come and see, but for us to go and tell. That is why we go in different cities, different municipalities, and this is not the attractional model, but this is the missional model of doing ministry. When we say, go and therefore make disciples, it says here, of all nations. Let me just share something for a while. I want us to understand the cultural context of this. We're looking at a group of people who are embracing Judaism. And here's the thing. Every time the Roman Empire would expand and would try to take over or would try to capture a certain nation, a certain city, one of the first things that they look into are the religion of that specific city, whether that's paganism. They would try to see if the religion of the certain city is not dangerous for the empire. And the reason why Judaism was thriving during the time of the Roman Empire was because Judaism was inward focused, meaning to say, you do whatever you need to do, we do what we need to do. A lot of the Hellenistic Jews and other Gentiles look into the Jewish religion and the Jewish people and they envy. They envy because they have the God that they worship, whereas other people were pagan. Yet the Roman Empire allowed Judaism to actually grow because Judaism is inward focused. Aside from the Sadducees, of course, a normal practicing Jew have nothing to do with the political affairs of the nation. They are not a threat to the Roman Empire. So here comes Jesus Christ speaking in a countercultural way. What Jesus is saying is that the things that you've heard me say, the things that we have talked about the past 3 years of doing ministry, I want you to go and tell that to the nations of the world. So you would come to understand that from Israel, they went as far as Syria, they went to Antioch, which is going towards Turkey. That's why you would see the missionary journey of Paul started going westward before Eastern. After going west, it went basically going towards Europe. So the call that God has placed for us as Christians is this one, for us to go into the world and make disciples. Ito lang po. Naintindihan ko po na every time we talk about church, we think we attend church on a Sunday, and it's a good thing. But this is something that has already been institutionalized. But I want us to understand, in the olden days, church was not called church. It was called the way. The first group of Christians were not called the church. They were called the way. And they were known to be a movement. Meaning to say, wherever they go, they start preaching the gospel. So meaning to say, friends, if you consider yourself a Christian, ang role natin is not for us to sit pretty, to receive ministry every single Sunday. No. Yes, we receive ministry, we worship here together, but our call is to go out there and preach the gospel to the nations of the world. That is the movement that we are in. That is the call that we are embracing as a movement as well. I want to call on Gigi for a while to share a brief testimony about what she's going to do in the nation of Lebanon. But she's going to preach as well with regards to God's call for us as a church to go into the nations of the world. Can you just welcome Gigi for a while? She used to be a teacher. She was about to be promoted to a principal, but she felt like God was calling her to be a full-time cross-cultural missionary. So there's a difference between the two. A 10-day missionary will be in the nation for just for 10 days. But a cross-cultural missionary will be in that nation for more than 10 days, most likely 5 years, 10 years. Who knows? I firmly believe that God will use this woman to change the political climate, the spiritual climate of the nation of Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and the rest of the Middle East.
Good morning, church. It is a great privilege to be preaching today in front of you. And let me share to you our vision for the nation of Lebanon. Why Lebanon? People are asking, are you really okay? Why are you reaching Lebanon? Why not? I am going to the nation of Lebanon Because these Lebanese people are the children of God. And it's because of Jesus' love, that's why I'm going to the nation. And you know what? Lebanon has been to 7 wars. Imagine 7 wars. Can you imagine the pain and the hurt that they've been through? Imagine 7 wars. And even though they have been in that, they still have the love to share to the Syrian refugees, to the Iraqi refugees. Lebanon is the most strategic place to reach out. Why? Because once you reach out Lebanon, you are reaching the whole Arab nation. We have Syrian community, we have Iraqi community, we have Turkish community, we have Armenian community. When we reach out one Syrian community, one Iraqi community, one Lebanese student, even one Turkish student, when we are going to reach out one student, we are reaching a family. When we reach out one family, we are reaching a community. Once we reach out community, we are reaching a nation. And when we reach a nation, we are reaching the whole world. What a great opportunity, Victory Dumaguete, that of all the people in this world, we are the one given the privilege and the opportunity to reach out and to be part and to co-labor with God in the nation. Isn't it a great privilege that we have right now? The failure of the world to hear the gospel is a failure of the church to send missionaries. That's why I am so thankful with you guys for sending me to the nation of Lebanon. Someday, a Syrian or Iraqi student will be coming here to visit us in Victory Dumaguete, and they will thank you. And they will express their gratitude to you for sending me to the nation of Lebanon. Lebanon, it's like hitting 5 birds with 1 stone. You are going to one nation, but you are reaching 5 nations. Imagine with me. From one nation, the gospel will spread to the nation of Syria. The gospel will spread to the nation of Iraq. The gospel will spread to the nation of Armenia. Because of what we are doing in the nation of Lebanon. And right now, I want to challenge the church. Would you at this time accept this opportunity to co-labor and to be part of the Great Commission? I hope and pray that you will have that heart to always pray for the nation. Because that is the main task that we have to do. Because that is a task that Jesus has given to us, to preach the gospel to the nations. Thank you so much.
Palakpakan natin si Gigi, come on. Since she was talking about Lebanon, I remember when we were in Lebanon for a scouting trip that resulted to her being sent to Lebanon last October 2017. We went into a university called AUB, American University of Beirut. In 3 hours of staying there, here are some people that I met. I met a Palestinian, Iraqis, Syrians, people from Kurdistan, Saudi, and Armenians, and Lebanese. So meaning to say, the next generation of Middle East are studying in Lebanon. Imagine if we reach the university students, then basically what she was saying is that we are reaching the entire Middle East for that matter. And we really praise God for that. Amen. Could you just give God praises for that? Come on. Allow me to show you these figures for a while. We have a total of 429,000 cross-cultural missionaries, not just from every nation, all over the world. So meaning to say, there's 429,000 people who have dedicated their life into advancing God's kingdom in the nations of the world. And the thumb people, these are the people that we are reaching, the tribals, the Hindus, the unreligious, the Muslims, and the Buddhists. This is their number in terms of population, but we'll appreciate and understand it more. If you look at the percentage of that certain group of people, if you reference it to the world, there is a total of 7.1% Buddhist people in the world, 23.3% are Muslims. Majority of them are actually in Indonesia. 11.3% are unreligious, 13.4% are Hindus, and 9.7% are tribals. Now, here are the number of missionaries that we have. The number of missionaries that we have in many of these nations are 11,900 for the tribals, dedicated their life there, 5,500 for the Hindus, 11,700 for unreligious, 4,200 for Muslims, and 2,000 for Buddhists. The ratio of one missionary for a certain group of people is, for the tribals, 1 is to 60,000. I want you to understand this. A healthy ratio of a pastor to a church is 1:350. That's a healthy one. So there has to be one pastor for 350 people. Victory Dumaguete is like 1,300 and we have two pastors. So we are doubling our time. We know that there's an urgency for us here in our local church to double the number of our pastors. For us palang, it's already problematic in a sense. Imagine this one. 1:60,000. Then, for the Hindus, there's what? One missionary per 179,000 people. Then, for the unreligious, there's one missionary per 71,000. For the Muslim world, one missionary per 405,000. And for the Buddhists, 1:260,000. What's my point? The workers are few. My point is, the workers are few. There's not too many people who are like Gigi, who are like Abraham, who would go from the Ur of the Chaldeans and go to Canaan. There's not too many people who have an absolute kind of faith and tell God, Lord, you've called me to the nation of Iraq. Lord, you've called me, Lord, to the nation of Sri Lanka, Lord. You've called me, Lord, to the nation of Kazakhstan, and I'm going to give it my all. And here we have an opportunity to send one of our best, one of our leaders. Now, if you're here today and you feel like God is calling you to be a cross-cultural missionary, first, I will pray that you will not disqualify yourself. I pray that you will take care of that calling, that you will pray for it. And when the time comes, I pray that you will obey. Let me show you the nations that we went to as a local church. As a local church, we have been to 8 nations, not counting the scouting trip for Lebanon last and Leicester's trip to Dubai in 2006. We went to Yangon in Myanmar. That was in October 2006. That's our very first mission trip. Yung church that time was very small. Then December 2014, we went to Lahore in Pakistan. On that same month year, we went to Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam. 2015, we returned to Lahore, Pakistan. Went to Mumbai as well. Went back to Yangon, Myanmar. After 10 years, went to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, Battambang, Cambodia. This is us. This is our work. In Lahore, Pakistan in 2014, I myself, together with Rian, Lisa, Charmaine, Genty, all 5 of us, we went on our first ever mission trip in Lahore, Pakistan. The first after a long time. We went into different campuses and people thought we were Chinese. Some people would approach us and tell us, ni hao, ni hao. Sabi lang sa amin. Sige, paano tayo naging Chinese? It's just that they're not familiar with people coming to their place. If you're in Dumaguete, you're so used to seeing backpackers here. You don't see backpackers in Lahore. If you bring a big backpack, people might apprehend you. People might think you're bringing a bomb or something. There's not too many people that go to Pakistan. And we had an incredible time helping out the church. At that time, was a one-year-old church in the nation of Pakistan. Right now, our church in Pakistan is being attended by 100 people every single week, and most of them are locals. And remember, there was a time wherein the ladies, Genty, Charmaine, Rian, Lisa, approached some ladies in the campuses, and their question to them was, do we look like terrorists to you? So meaning to say, they themselves, they're crumbling inside with the thought that the entire world is looking down on them or looking at them as terrorists or something like that. On that same month, we went also to Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam. This was led by Tom, Haya, Gofani, Jana, and some of our leaders here. So much of that is campus ministry in Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam. So we have a thriving church in Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam right now, led by a Filipino pastor. In 2015, we went back to Lahore, Pakistan. This was Ryan, Cheryl, and the rest of the team. Pastor Kin was also there. So these are some of the university students who engaged. Do you realize that it's not an accident why Filipinos are all over the world? It is not an accident. God has called us. Sabi nila, ang pangalan ng isang tao, destiny niya. Ang Philippines po, galing po kay Philip the Evangelist. So ibig sabihin po, ang mga Pilipino evangelist po. That's why we go to the world and preach the gospel. People say that the only nation in the world where there's no Filipino is North Korea. Guess what? North Korea is opening up, there will be Filipinos there. Mauuna po mga Pinoy. That is why some of you will be sent wherever God brings you. I may not know you, but I hope you bring with you the call to preach the gospel to the nations of the world. We went to Mumbai in India. This was led by Pastor JD. Much of this is campus ministries. We have a thriving church in Mumbai, India. We went back to Yangon, Myanmar, May 2016. This was led by John. They had the privilege to minister to the Philippine ambassador to Myanmar and was able to pray for them because The ambassador's wife is actually from Dumaguete. Imagine the connection. So it's quite amazing. God just connected all of these people to us. And again, it's still campus ministry, the work that we're doing in Myanmar. In October 2016, we went to Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. Other than the snow, they also enjoyed ministering there. Sabi nila sa Ulaanbaatar sa Mongolia, they don't have refrigerators anymore. All their meat are just on the sidewalk. Hindi po nabubulok kasi sa sobrang lamig. We had a privilege of going there and ministering. We went to Battambang, Cambodia in July last year. This year, we don't have a 10-day trip. But next year, we are going to Bangkok, Thailand. We are sending a team of 10 single professionals and parents. Now, another thing, I know that a lot of you are new in Victory. You don't have to do this. But if you have been with Victory for quite some time now, you know that we do this every single year. Today is a special Sunday. As a movement, Victory is called to honor God and make disciples, not just in the Philippines, not just in Dumaguete, but in every nation. And every year, we rally our church to the vision of advancing God's kingdom in every nation through world missions. One way you can get involved is by giving. We do three things. Either we pray, we give, and go. If you're here and you cannot go like Gigi, then you can give and you can actually pray. I want to encourage you as part of Every Nation movement to please commit with us to be a blessing to the nation of the world.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.